in your newspapers.
We left off yesterday by pointing out that there were two different categories of halacha that the Torah tells us in terms of how to deal with sfeikas. There are the regular rules of sfeikas, which is sfeika deraisa l'chumra and sfeika l'kula. That's in the realm of issur hatar. Then you have a unique area of sfeikas, which are in the realm of tumah v'tahara. But here the rules are very, very different. But here the rule is that sfeik tumah b'shus hayochid is sfeika tameh, even if it's a sfeika l'kula, even if you have a million reasons to believe that it's mutar. But any suffix, whenever it's a suffix called the who, the suffix to which is a yachid is l'chumra. That's left out for the Pasha Sota. And the flip side of that halacha is that suffix to which is a rabbin is always going to be tahor, even if the direction seems to be pointing that it should be tameh. Even if you have a snake on the tameh, it's still going to be mutter. And the Pasha is also halacha Moshe Messina derived from Sota. And the opposite of Sota is in Sota is a which is a yachid, the implication being that in the which is a rabbin, all snakes would be tahor. So these are two distinct areas of halacha. So 99.9% of the time, these two areas of halacha are very different from one another, and there's really no overlap. And you can tell whether you're in a realm of Issur HaHeter, whether you're in a realm of Tumah V'Tahara. But every once in a while, you get into a gray area in halacha where it's unclear whether we're really functioning in the realm of Issur HaHeter, whether we're functioning in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. Nafkaminas V'Deraisas, Nafkaminas, which set of rules do we apply in these somewhat gray and middle areas? So one of the areas which is somewhat unclear as to whether it falls into the category of Issur HaHeter, whether it falls into the category of Tumah V'Tahara, is a sugya that we spoke a little bit about there in the past, and that's the sugya of Nida. Nida is a tough situation because Nida has different aspects to it. When a woman becomes a Nida, so really two things happen to her personally. Forget about the Dan becoming Tameh, but in terms of the woman herself, she becomes Tameh with ramifications in terms of Tumah V'Tahara, Kachem, Tumah, etc. And there are also ramifications in terms of the Sedat, namely that she is no longer permitted to her husband. So the Shaila becomes, what do you do when you have a Safiq Yeruchas Nida? Do we say that Safiq Yeruchas Nida follows the rules of Issur HaHeter, Sneger Derais L'Chomer, Sneger Sneger L'Kula, or do we view Yeruchas Nida as being a Tumah V'Tahara type of halacha, and therefore you follow the rules of Tumah V'Tahara, namely Safiq Tumah B'Shus Hayachar L'Chomer, Safiq Tumah B'Shus Harabim L'Kula. So what is that halacha? So Tosfos in Bavakama Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that we alluded to a couple of days ago, so Tosfos tells us that we have a right to split, that when a Shaila comes up, whether a woman is a Nida, so depending on which kind of a Shaila we're interested in, so if you lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and there was a Tumah V'Tahara, Shaila. So you now have a woman who's a Suffolk Nida. So if the Shaila is no lot in Rosh HaYochid and it's some kind of enough to mean if a Truma, for Kachim, etc., then you have to be Machmir. If the Shaila is relevant for Rosh HaRabim, so then you have a right to be Mekel. So in the Tuma aspect of Uchus Nida, Tosfos claims you follow the rules of Tumah V'Tahara. The Issur HaBayla aspect of Uchus Nida, so that you follow the rules of Yisurim of Issur HaHeter. You follow the regular rules of Sveika Derais L'Chumra and Sveik Sveika L'Kula. So Tosfos claims that basically you split the psach. It means we raised the Shaila. We raised the Shaila a minute ago. What's the nature of Uchus Nida? Is Uchus Nida Tumah? Is Uchus Nida Issur HaHeter? Nafkamina, how do you deal with Sveikos? So Tosfos says they're both right. They're both true. It depends which area of Allah you're asking. So in theory, according to Tosfos, you can have a very bizarre thing. You can have a woman who we're going to declare her Tumeya, we're going to declare her Mutaras. We're going to declare her Tahora. We're going to declare her Asura. And it's not a steer. It's not a contradiction, says Tosfos, because each area of Allah has to be governed by its own set of rules and regulations. So this Chiddush Gadol of Tosfos that you could split Uchus Nida seems to touch on a fundamental question which goes way beyond the issue of Sveikas, and that's really more of a Uchus Nida type of a question. We already mentioned in the last year that when a woman has a Riyaz Dam, once a woman experiences bleeding, so two things happen to her. She becomes Tameya and she becomes Asura. So one could raise the following Chakira, one could raise the following Lamda Shashayla. How do we understand this, that a woman becomes both Tameya, like at the Truma, Taras, Kachim, etc., as well as Asura Labayla? How do we understand the relationship between those two facts? So one can explain in one of two ways. Either one can explain that whenever a woman has a Riyaz Dam, so that creates two different halachas. That's a Goreim, that causes a Tumah, and that it also causes an Isser. It happens to be that the two go hand in hand. It happens to be that most of the time when she's Tameh, she's Asur, when she's Torah, she's Muteras, but they're not necessarily totally Zebazet. The Riyaz Dam is the Goyim, the Riyaz Dam is the Oser, the Riyaz Dam is the Mekameh. That's one way of understanding a Chus Nida. Or you can understand a Chus Nida in a totally different way, that the Riyaz Dam creates the status of Tumah. That's what Riyaz Dam does. Now there's a halacha when a woman is Tameh, Tumah Nida, she happens to become Asur Labayla. So really the two steps in a Chus Nida. The Riyas Dam creates the Shem Tuma. The Shem Tuma, not only being enough Kamina for Tumma Matara, also creates a din in your day in terms of Issa Vehetta. So that's a fundamental question, the basic Hakira, how to understand the relationship between Tuma Sneed and Issa Nida. Are they two independent halachas that in theory could be separated from one another? Or do we say, no, they're totally Zabazer, because the very Issa Nida is goofy totally on the Tuma Sa'isha. So Tosa seems to be taking a stand on this basic Hakira. Tosa seems to be saying that the two halachas are in fact separate from one another. Proof positive, says Tosus. It's shayach to have one without the other. In theory, you can have a situation, a woman who's Tameya, because we paskin up Hilchas, subject to Bishas Ayachat, point in the direction of being Tameya, yet we're going to paskin that she's Muteris Labayah, because there's a snake, and that's going to be mad to her. Or vice versa, you can have a suffix to Bishas Arab, a suffix Rias Nidus Bishas Arabim. So in Tumu Vitar, we're going to paskin she's Tahora, but Magavi Bayah, we're going to paskin the snake of the Rais of the Chumra. So that's not a steer according to Tosus. On a level of the Rais, it's shayach, it's Tithonahe Amehar. You can have a woman who's in need of some areas of Halacha, not a need for other areas of Halacha. So this is very, very questionable whether this is really true. This assumption of Tosus is highly questionable and appears to be the root of a Machlekes that we showed them that appears in Masechet Nida, a Machlekes between the Ravid and the Rush. There is a sugya, leaving out all the details of the sugya. It's a very important sugya, Lamaisa for us today, but we're going to leave out the details for now. The sugya begins as follows. The Gemara tells us that sometimes you have a situation where a woman has to do what's called counting Shiva Nikiyam, depending on when she saw Da, certain times in a cycle in order for it to become Tahora, so it's not enough just to wait 7 days, but she has to wait 7 clean days, and she has to stop bleeding for all those 7 days, then and only then could she go to the mikveh. That's the basic din of the Pasuk Chumash, the Tara Mizova, the Safal of Shiva Yom Yachatit, it's the din of Shiva Nikiyim. So usually the Halacha of Shiva Nikiyim means that any time during the Shiva Nikiyim, if she experiences bleeding, so then the whole count is thrown off entirely, she has to start all over again. The Gemara is a Chiddush, which is actually a question in the Gemara, but we've shown him to point out, the Gemara seems to conclude this in other places in the Masechta, that what if a woman during that week of counting Shiva Nikiyim doesn't experience a Re'iyah Dam, but she experiences what's called the Paleta Shechva Zera. She had relations with her husband a day or two before, and now some of the Zera comes out, so we know that Paleta Shechva Zera is a Metameh. If a woman becomes Paleta Shechva Zera, so the Pesukim and Parshas Yisrael tell us that she becomes Tameya. So the Gemara has the following halacha. A woman is in the middle of counting Shiva Nikiyim. She's up to day 3, and all of a sudden some Zera comes out of her body. So what is the status of the Zera that comes out of her body? Is that a Soser of the Shiva Nikiyim or not? So the Gemara says, no, it's not like Dam that Soser the entire Shiva Nikiyim. It's only Soser Yom Echad. It's a special Zera Sakos, the Gemara derives from Sukkim, that day that she had a Paleta Shiva Zera cannot count for Shiva Nikiyim. So usually the Shiva Nikiyim have to be consecutive. Here you have a strange thing. She counts day 1, day 2, and then all of a sudden she realizes on day 3, that some Zera came out of her body, so that day is a blank. It doesn't cancel, but it doesn't count towards the Cheshbon. And then the following day, she continues to count from day 3. So that's the din of the Araisa called Paleta Shechva Zera. So the Rosh in Masechet Nida quotes the name of the Ravid that this din of Paleta Shechva Zera only applies to Gabi Tumu Vitara, does not apply to Gabi Labayla. In terms of when a woman becomes has to count Shiva Nikiyim, so she has to count Shiva Nikiyim for two purposes. She has to count Shiva Nikiyim in order to become Tahora. She has to count Shiva Nikiyim in order to become Muteris Labayla. She goes to the Mikvah, so then her Tumu will be removed and the Issa Labayla will be removed. So the Ravid says this idea of Paleta Shechva Zera as knocking off one of the days of Shiva Nikiyim, of not been counting to Shiva Nikiyim, this din the Araisa that the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, the Ravid says there's no way that this should apply to Labayla. What is Paleta Shechva Zera? If you were Labayla, who is Paleta Shechva Zera in the middle of the month, it doesn't affect the status of Labayla. It's totally irrelevant, Lagabi Baila. That's a Tumah V'Tahara type of halacha. So she's a Paleta Shechva Zera vis-a-vis Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, but not vis-a-vis Tumah Labayla. So, not vis-a-vis Issa Labayla. So it comes out according to the Ravid, a very, very strange thing. You can have a woman who's counting Shiva Nikiyim on two different tracks. She has two different counts. She's up to day 7 in terms of account Labayla, she's only up to day 6 in terms of account Le'etumah. So she goes to the mikvah and she's Muteris Labayla, but she's Metame. So the thing, a bizarre thing, you can have a woman who's splitting that half the halachas of Hilchos Nida apply to her on one day and half of them don't because she had different counts because Paletos was so sad one day only vis-a-vis Tumah, not vis-a-vis Bayla. So the Rosh takes issue. She'd have to go to the mikvah again for it to become Tahara, right? So the Rosh takes issue with this, right? But the Rosh says he can't believe this is true.
What's the point of what's in the
Labayla, then she's permitted to be with her husband. She goes in the mikvah, even though she married to Mustida, right?
But if she hadn't gone to the mikvah after the first time, would there be a lot?
No, you know, laws. When she goes to seventh time, that'll cover up above for everything. But if she wants to marry, if she wants to gain one day with the husband, she will go to the mikvah. It doesn't matter. She's Tameya, but she's the Mutar Sabbat. That's the finish of the Ravid. So the Rosh jumps in this Ravid. He says, he can't believe this is true. Heicha Matzinu Stira L'Chatzoyin, the Rosh says. What do you have to do? It's a strange halacha. That she's a neither for one area of halacha, not a neither for another area of halacha. Hoping doesn't make any sense. So the Rosh says, if there's a din of Koleta Shepazera, that it applies not only Tumah Vitara, it applies to Bile as well. Shulchan Aruch, we pass in at the Rosh, we pass in that it is a problem, that Koleta Shepazera is a problem. We cannot split between Tumah Vitara and Labaila. So the Chora, based on the fact that all the Rishonim, almost nobody else takes this right in, based on all the Rishonim who accept the Rosh Hashita, based on Shulchan Aruch and Ukhuz Nida, and Kutsar Yivav, who paskins like the Rosh, if this is true, then Lechor, this seems to fly in the face of the Tosfos. The Tosfos said in the Sugyas of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYochid that we can split between Labaila and Legavi Tumah, that we can declare a woman based on Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRavim Tahar and still say she's a Sur Labaila. We can paskin based on Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYochid that she's Tameya and still be Matra Labaila. So Lechor, that fits in beautifully with the Shittas HaRavid, but the Ravid is Shalaika HaLocha. So if we want to salvage this Tosfos, if we want to make this Tosfos meaningful for us, the Halacha, so we have to do a little bit of work on this Tosfos. So Rabbi Chaim Vassarin suggests that perhaps what Tosfos means is something a little bit different than we thought he meant. When Tosfos says that we could split between Labaila and Tumah Vitara, Tosfos didn't mean the way the Ravid split. What Tosfos meant is as follows. This halacha that we just mentioned yesterday, the halacha Moshe Mesinai, that Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is Sveik HaTomei. So Yesh Lach, or what's the nature of that halacha, that Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is Sveik HaTomei? So let's say we have a Safik, whether a Sheretz touched something or not. So come to halacha Moshe Mesinai, derived from Soita, we say that the food, that the person who may touch the Sheretz is considered to be Tamei Misafik. Good, so Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is Sveik HaTomei. So what's the nature of that Tumah, says Rabbi Chanan? Is that called Tumah Sheretz? That the Torah says that we have to be machshir this like Elu, the person touched the Sheretz, even though it's a 50-50 chance where he touched it, we don't really know if he touched it. There may even be a fake faker. The odds may be that he didn't touch it, but it doesn't matter. Kach remember Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid Sveik HaTomei, that's called the Tumah Sheretz, that's a Tumah Pratis, that's called this specific Tumah of Sheretz. What do we say? No, that's not Tumah Sheretz, Tumah Sheretz. If you know you touched the Sheretz, you become Tumah Tumah Sheretz. So what is it that this is Tomei? This is a Tumah Klawis. This is a new Tumah. You know what the name of the Tumah is? The name of the Tumah is called Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. There's a new Kiddush. We thought we knew all the Chastum already. We thought we learned all the Sech, all the Taras. We thought we know there's a Mace, and there's a Sheretz, and there's Nevelas, Valkyrie, there's a Zav, and there's an Eden, there's a Mitzah. We thought we got everything down pat. Said Rabbi Chanan, there's a new one. The Halacha Moshe Sinai called Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid, Sveik HaTomei, but it's not called Tumah Sheretz, it's not called Tumah Space. It's a new Chalashim, it's a new type of a Tumah. So my last Kamina, where the Amagdi or Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is a new type of a Tumah. So Rabbi Chanan says, now the Tosfos makes perfect sense. Avada, the Ravid, is not accepted. Nobody holds like the Ravid. Everybody holds that the Isser of Labaila is a function of the Tumas Aisha. If the woman is Tameya, then she's Asur Labaila. End of discussion. It is inconceivable that a woman should be Tameya Lataris and Mutaris Labaila. But says Rabbi Chanan, what does it mean that she's Tameya? It means that she's Tameya Tumas Nida, then she's Asur Labaila. Let's say she's Tameya because she touched the Sheriff. She's Tameya because she touched the Mace. That doesn't Asur Labaila. It's Tumas Nida that Asur Labaila. So says Rabbi Chanan, the Tumah of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid doesn't Asur a woman Labaila. The Tumah of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is not a Tumah Pratis. It's not a Tumah in this particular name of Tumah. It's not called the Tumah Sheretz. It's not called the Tumah Stavel. It's not called the Tumah Smeis. It's called the Tumah Klolis. A Tumah of Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid, that doesn't create an Issa Labayla. So says Rabbi Chanan, the Tosfos is not Meshuba to the Ravid. The Ravid was a Dasi Yochid. The Ravid held Mamash, the two different parashas. There's a parasha of Tumah, there's a parasha of Issa, and the two have nothing to do with each other. You can split easily between the two. Nobody holds like that Ravid. Tosfos doesn't like that Ravid. Tosfos holds, of course, Tumas Nida creates this Labayla. But the Chiddush of Tosfos is that Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid is not called Tumas Nida. It's called the Safik, a new Chalashem, a new Tumah called Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. So I call upon him. Tosfos got us into trouble. Tosfos got us into this whole, not trouble, got us into the nice chabur for today. Tosfos got us into this whole balagan because there is a sukkah in Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Yud Aleph, that appears to apply the principles of Sveik, Sveik, and Lekula in the realm of Uchaz Nida. So Tosfos was forced to say that's not Lagabi the Tumas Nida, but rather Gabi the Islam.
Why
did
Rosami wipe out all the Rishon and Shani?
That was. Tumas Karnam, we're going to get to a second. Tumas Karnam, we're going to get to a second. Hold on a minute. No, this is a Rishon Tei. The Torah says that you have to treat this with all the halachas of other Tumas, but it's not called Tumas Brachas. It's not to do with Tumas. No, it's, yeah, it still goes Rishon Sheva, okay, anything else. The Chorah, what God tells us into this pickle in the first place was this Gemara of Bakamid Achiral, that the Gemara applied the principle of Sveik Sveika, Magadi Hilchas Nid, and Taisus had to scrounge around trying to figure out what it's talking about. So the Emes is that there's a totally different mahalach to that sugyan of a kamed afir aleph, which would solve the entire problem from day one, and that's an approach that's taken by Taisus and Masechet Nida and Avdeizim and Aleph. So Taisus, a very long Taisus, Avdeizim and Aleph and Nida suggests that there are really fundamentally two different types of tumah in the halacha. I mean, there are a lot of subcategories of tumah, but in terms of basic principles, basic broad categories of tumah, there are really two distinct types of tumahs. There's one that's called the tumah smaga, and one is what's called the tumah sri'ir, or tumah yetzel migufo. A tumah smaga means that nothing happens intrinsically to the person who's becoming tameh, but rather he's being touched by something external. So he's being touched by a mace, so being touched by a sheres, being touched by an avela. Those are all tumah smagas. Those are tumah abam in achutz. Then there's a second type of a tumah, which is the tumah hayetzel of migufa, which is sometimes called the tumah ri'iyah. Those are synonyms. Let's say when a woman becomes a nida, so the ri'iyah's dam emanates from her body. Or a person becomes a mitzayra, the tumah emanates from his body. A man becomes a zav, the tumah emanates from his body. A woman has a baby, the tumah emanates from her body. So those are tumahs ri'iyah, those are tumahs hayetzel of migufa. So Taisa suggests that perhaps this chiddush ha'tayra, this halacha Moshe Mesinai, that suffik tumah b'shusayach, it's veikot tameh, only applies to tumas maga, doesn't apply to tuma yotzel of migufa. Why is that? So Taisa says that if you go to the very marker, what was the original marshal of suffik tuma b'shusayachid? Was the case of sota. So sota is an example of a tuma yotz, not a tuma yotzel migufa, but a tuma bami makam acher, because the woman starts out being muteras to her husband, she starts out being tahora, and then a boil comes, a man comes and is mazana with her. So that's like the sheretz, that's the marshal, that the boil to the nivellas is like the sheretz to the adam tov. So just as sota is something which is a davar abam in achutz, that's the chiddush ha'tayra of safik tumah b'shusayachid. Ein la rola chiddushay. Only those types of tumas which are yitzelav, which are not yitzelav megufa, which are tumas maga min achutz. Only those types of tumas are subject to the rules of safik tumah b'shusayachid. Any other kind of a tumah, safik ri'iya, so then you go with the regular rules, the regular dinim of safik deraisa l'chumah sveik sveik l'kula. So according to Taisa and Yidid Abeis, the answer to the question is much easier. Why does the Gemara of Bakami et Aleph apply the principles of Sveik Sveik and Hilchos Nida? Not like Taisa said in Dafid Aleph and Bakami that this is Tumah and that's Isser and different stories and in the Bukhara and Zahosh Shabbat Tayyar. No. But Nida is different. Nida was never the parish of the Chlal of Safik Tumah. You can't even begin to discuss Safik Tumah with Shasayachid in the realm of Nida, because Nida is a Safik, is a Tumah, which is a Yatzalam Miguf. It's not a Tumah Smaga. So Kopanim, we know a little bit about this klal of suffik tumah b'shusayachid. We know that usually it's pretty easy to tell what's called tumah and what's called isser, and neither is a particular area of halacha where the lines get somewhat blurred. There is another area of halacha where the lines are also a little bit blurry, and that's what the Itamar mentioned before. That's in the realm of tumas kohanim. So what would that halacha be as follows? We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah for a kohen to become tami tumas meis. So what would be possible about the following shaila? Let's say a kohen wants to know, can he become tami tumas meis? Let's say you have a situation of a snake snake in the hokel. So there's a snake snake, like we mentioned the other day in the Rakeh. There's a snake snake in the hokel. Would that be acceptable or not? Can we apply the rule of snake snake in the hokel? Or should we say no? That if the suffix is no longer in Rishus Hayachid, if he wants to know, can he go into a private room with a maid, be amazed, there's a snake snake, maybe no, double suffix. But if it's a Rishus Hayachid, it's a suffix to more, which is Lachumra. Or what would that lacha be if suffix to Maskonim in Rishus Arabim? Would we have a right to say, let's say a coin's walking on the street and he doesn't know whether there's a maze or not, so minotaur, he can go there. The suffix to Mishus Arabim, Sveiko, Lakula. But you say, no, that this is not Tumah, this is a Sebeheter. So this is a funny area of halacha, because on the one hand, it's an Isser, you get Malchus for it. On the other hand, the Isser is to become Tami. And that's why you Tama B'Yamav, so it's a button of halacha. So what is it? Is it Isser Beheter, is it Tumah? Namely, Nafkimino Adina, love of Derai. So which set of Klolim do you apply? So the Nechaz Chinuch is Mustatik about the Shiloh. So he's not sure, he raises the suffix. How do we view Tumas Kohanim? Is Tumas Kohanim Isser Beheter, or is Tumas Kohanim primarily Tumah, bound by the rules of Tumah? So l'chora, the answer to this question should touch a little bit on what we spoke about in the past in terms of that Sefer HaRakech and the following. If you remember, we mentioned that the Sefer HaRakech writes that Eishes Kohen Mubaris is permitted to go into an Ola Meis based on the principle of Sveik Sveika. So the Magen Avraham, I didn't even want to talk about the Magen Avraham then, but somebody asked me the question of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham raised an objection. Now, why do you have to drape with a Sveik Sveika and all kind of issues? Why don't you just say simply that it's Tara Blua? The Gemara says in the fourth paragraph of Chulin that anytime you have a Dovah Tar which is swallowed up, which is consumed by something else, it's not subject to Chlal for the Dinim of Tumah V'Tara. So Tepuk Lay, that the baby inside doesn't become Tameh, because it's Tahara Blua. That was the Magen Avraham's kasha, and he's so overwhelmed with this kasha, the Magen Avraham says he thinks the Rakech is not right, and he thinks that you don't need the Rakech Sveik Sveik, and even Sveik Sveik doesn't apply. It's still giving me mutar based on Tahara Blua. What did the Rakech hold? Why didn't the Rakech apply the principle of Tahara Blua? So there is a suggestion that's given by Reb Chaim Oizer and Sefer Achiezer, Reb Chaim has this idea also, that that perhaps what the Rakech and the Shach, who quotes the Rakech, held was as follows. That this Isser of Tumas Kohanim is a little bit of a misnomer. We call it Tumas Kohanim, but it's not really Tumas Kohanim. The Isser for a Kohen is not to become Tumi Tumas Meis. The Isser for a Kohen is not to come into contact with a Meis, not to come close to a Meis. How do we define coming close to a Meis? So the rules of how a Magde, what's called coming close to a Meis, happen to be Tumas Magde, Tumas Masa, Tumas Oyel. That's considered by the Halacha to be coming too close. That's too close for comfort. But the Isser is not really to become Tumi. It doesn't really concern us whether the Kohen becomes Tumi or not. The Isser is to become Kravel Meis. That's the problem. That's the nature of the Isser. If that's the case, says Rabbi Chanan and says Rabbi Chaim Oizer, then it makes sense that Tara Blua doesn't play a role here. Tara Blua is when you're dealing with Shuma Vitara, Nafkamin Ladina, whether it's can you Truma, not Truma, Kachin, etc. So Tara Blua plays a role. But in terms of the Yisra of Kravel Mace, Lamaisi, you have a foot away from the Mace. So the fact that there's a quirk in Uchastuma Vitara and Tara Blua saves the day, that's not going to affect the Yisra of Kravel Mace. But could be that the Sefer Rekeach, who ignored the issue of Tara Blua, he was understanding, like Reb Chaim Oizer, like Reb Chanan suggests, that the nature of the Isser is not really Tumah V'Tahara oriented. The nature of the Isser is Isser V'Hetar oriented. There's an Isser Kravel Ameis. Now the Rakech would be Mamash L'Shitasai, that the Rakech applied a Sveik Sveik in the realm of Tumas Kohanim. Yeah, that's the Rakech L'Shitasai who ignored the Tara Blua. Because the Rakech ignored Tara Blua, that shows that he understood that Tumas Kohanim is basically Isser V'Hetar. If it's basically Isser V'Hetar, then Sveik Sveik makes sense. According to the Magen Avraham, who's applying the rule of Tara Blua, he's viewing Tumas Kohanim basically as a din of Tumah V'Tahara, so then Taka Sveik Sveik maybe wouldn't even make any sense. At the end of the day, we're safe going to everybody. The Rakech was Matah and the Magen Avraham was Matah, but each one for different reasons. But it's not just arbitrarily different reasons. The two reasons are totally separate. You can't accept both the reasons. Either you have to pick your reason. Either pick your understanding of Tumas Kohanim. Either Tumas Kohanim is based on an Isser of Tumah V'Tahara, or Tumas Kohanim is based on a concept of Isser V'Hetar.
If it's based... Rakech
is
based on himself on
Tumah V'Tahara,
and that's why he doesn't agree.
No, he doesn't say it. The Magen Avraham just says, Yitzhar Chiyin, why Rakech didn't say Tara Blua. He lives Yitzhar. So the later Acharayim explain away why the Rakech didn't say it based on this, based on the Shechel Torah. So I hope one of you see just from these couple of examples that we gave that although the rules of Safek Tumah, Mishus Aram, Mishus Ayachar are one category of Halacha Moshe Sinai, the rules of Sveik Adarais and Lechumra, Sveik Sveik Lekula are another category of Halachas, and most of the time the categories are pretty simple to discern between the two. Every once in a while you get into a little bit of a problem, you get into an area of Halacha where it's somewhat gray. Neither is one example where it's gray, Tumas Kohanim is another example where it's gray.
What would be the answer
I mean, it's back to the same story. It'll be according to the Rakech, even to a Bandi Nisik Rosh would be mutter.
According to
the Achiezer, says it's mutter based on Sveik Sveika. The Achiezer Paschal is like to say for Rakech. He says, not like the Magen Avraham standard. According to the Magen Avraham, so then. Right, who says, according to the Magen Avraham, maybe this Sveik Sveik attack won't work. And the Chanan is right, that's why the Magen Avraham needed Tara Blua. Again, this is just our own little razzle down. The Magen Avraham doesn't say that he disagrees with the Rakech Sveik Sveik. The Magen Avraham just says he doesn't need the Rakech Sveik Sveik. We're just suggesting, of course, what we're saying, it's more than just not needing it. It could be that it's not wrong, this is the Rakech Sveik Sveik. Okay, all right, we'll stop for now. Hopefully, Rez Hashem, next week when we continue, so we'll move on to other areas related to robes and chazakhs, things of that nature.